All right. Am I back with you?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. So Margaret was the individual who extended the invitation to Faye, and so we really appreciate it. So Margaret, would you do the honors of introducing Faye this morning?
Oh, I would be happy to. Faye Feeney is like my best friend in the world.
Mm.
Plus, she is the first person I ever met at a networking event, and that was like almost 14 years ago. And Faye and I really connected there, and I didn't realize until a while later that that was Faye's first networking event also. So we kind of have grown up together in that South Bay area in California, growing our businesses. So I'm very, very pleased and proud to introduce Faye. Faye is the CEO of Risk for Good, an advisory firm equipping CEOs and their boards to govern the digital revolution. Her engagements equip the C-suites to improve their management of emerging risks around people and business operations. She is a well-respected expert in safety, health, and environmental issues for business. Faye works with clients to prevent and minimize the impact from business interruption losses. In the age of social media, this can include your reputation, especially when operating in a supply chain that demands responsible partners. She speaks regularly to corporate directors on technology risk and social media implications for business continuity. She's speaking with us today on disaster preparedness in the always-on connected world. So it's my great pleasure to introduce Faye Feeney.
Well, thank you, Margaret, and Jackie, thank you for hosting. This reminds me, guys, of when you meet somebody at a networking reception and you say to them, you know, here's my business, and you can just see the look on their faces. Do I really need to know more about it? And I don't think I'm buying any of that. I think disaster preparedness is that kind of opener when you need to meet with people. And what I want to have us really understand is that the costs associated with being unprepared are business resumption. Just take a look at our recent issues around Sandy. I mean, mm-hmm. we're still tallying up the cost of Sandy. And for those on the East Coast, you know, the direct costs so far are in the $60 billion range. So, I mean, these are not necessarily disasters of Sandy's proportion that we're going to talk about today, because a lot of the world is suffering losses in the non-physical world, which is why we want to take a look broadly at this issue of how your business is going to be prepared. So here's what I want to cover today. I want to cover broadly disaster recovery, both as a business founder and owner, disaster recovery as an associate in a business, and then how the preparedness around business recovery really helps you become a better trusted advisor. So I would say today we're going to be in that quadrant of importance but not urgent, but we're going to try to make it as entertaining as possible. Jackie, I'm sorry I didn't ask you. Do we take questions during the presentation? How does this format work best for your audience?
We usually take questions at the end.
Okay. So then I will just go through. I'd like to ask you if you could open up the document, Disaster Preparedness in the Always On Connected World. So one of the things you're going to be hearing, whether you're watching the news from Davos or you're just looking at the businesses, is that 2013 is going to be the year of building a resilience. And the reason I think this theme is going to be so popular is that we're going to get bounced around a lot more because of the amount of turbulence that comes from being connected. So with that in mind, what I want us to think about are what are some of the things that make us go bump? And one of the things that make us go bump is in that fourth paragraph. It's around your IT and data recovery. And we can't have a business continuity plan discussion without understanding how central IT and data has become to running our businesses. So one of the things you know, that I do with clients is I try to help them think about what are the people side of the issues, which fall under the language called business continuity planning and involve connecting with people, letting your team know how to get back to work after an event. It also involves communication with your customers, whether it's via dark site that you have prepared on your web, or it's an email blast that says something as simple as, our power has been down for the last day. Please call us on this number. I mean, those are all routines that you want to think about on the people side. On the facility side, you want to take a thought about where people are actually located physically and how you would have your business put in, we call just put in a box, so that you could pick that up and relocate to another physical location. Now, obviously, the more people you have, the more demanding this planning comes, but you want to be thinking in those broad terms around people, around facilities, and then the third pillar here is your IT and data recovery operations. So we'll go through some of those areas. But the fundamentals always begin with a risk assessment. And when you're talking about the risk assessment, what you're looking at is this idea on that chart of what are the things that could take you out. And I'll just go with the middle box in that chart. It's the loss of services. So most of us think about earthquake preparedness. Some of us who have to run businesses in a global context, think about whether it's East Coast being quite freezing today or other issues. But, you know, we seldom think about loss of services and utilities. But there are many cases, and Sandy was an example of this, where businesses could not come back up because they didn't have auxiliary power, or they didn't have auxiliary locations where business could be conducted. So you want to take a look around the kind of business you have and think through what might be some of the scenarios that you would go through with your business if an event like this happened. I think one of the things you'll see is once you get some framework for how much time you're going to spend on this, and most small businesses spend zero time mm-hmm. on this, but even a half an hour a week would devote a framework to getting your thoughts around your people, your facilities, and your IT infrastructure. But one of the things that I want to recommend before we go to our second page is I want you to be thinking about if you're going to be building a plan, that you want this plan. In the old days, we built these plans for people and they stayed in binders on the shelf, but you know, nowadays these are plans that you want to make as collaborative documents, and you want to make sure that you have access to these documents. So my recommendation is that you use a third-party sharing platform, whether it's like Google Drive or a proprietary drive like Dropbox, but you want to have a place where this is accessible as a plan, irrespective of where you are. But let's move to page 2. The tenets around disaster preparedness is that you're building resilience for your organization to respond, recover, and resume. And the less business interruption, the better you're able to serve your customers, and the better you're able to protect your balance sheet. So this is the argument for why this is important. But, you know, I just cannot, without seeing everybody in person and reading your body language, tell whether this has any urgency for you or not, but these are the steps you want to be able to respond to, is that respond, recover, and resume. So as we're talking about this minimizing disruption, this is the way that when I work with a client, I go through my first assessment. I take a look at key management, and I decide, you know, what are the roles they're going to play in coordinating emergency evacuation plans? I mean, some folks on an emergency evacuation plan are just not that good in emergencies. They get freaked out. So, you know, when it's just talking about that physical helping people move to a safe place, you've got to know who does that well. And you want to work around getting responsibility and roles in that area. you also want to think about the communications, and I know we have a lot of communications professionals on the call, but you want to think about how to have some ways of having somebody be your spokesperson for external communications and then your spokesperson for internal communications. Because the bigger the team, the more you're going to need to keep them informed, and the bigger the reputation, certainly the more you're going to want to keep your stakeholders informed about how you're doing. We talk about in companies starting an emergency operations center. Now, this could be a closet. This could be a file cabinet, but emergency operations centers are places where, in addition to having an online copy of your plan, you have a written copy, you have some collateral materials that help you do it, and then, of course, you can have some emergency supplies. You want to know, as a basic, what are the emergency continuity services that you're going to rely on at each of your locations. You're going to want to have some thought about how you're going to do some temporary replacement on critical business functions. So if this is a business like a business I run where we keep our server at a private server, you know, we want to make sure that our backup server could take over our business operations. Certainly want to look at roles and responsibility again, and there are so many tools out there that provide checklists and action sheets. I sent you a document with this call. I'll also put on my website the Small Business Administration link, but there's no lack of tools that can help you do this, and there's also folks that are able to help work through building a plan. But I can just share with you just on a consulting basis, to get a plan even for a small business is probably a $20,000 to $35,000 engagement to go through these areas and to have it built and to work with your team. So that's a pretty hefty cost for getting this done. If it's important enough, it's certainly worth it. But I want to let you know there are plenty of tools. You want to think about who you need to interface with. I mean, we talked about supply chain, but you want to know, you know, who's helping you on either outsourcing work. You want to know who your people need to talk to. And as a minimum, you want to get your teams involved so that they know how to contact, the top 10 customers and folks that supply them in relevant in business. You want to have somebody who knows local responding agencies. You want to, including your insurance agents, because these disasters involve a relationship there like never before. Once again, this communication system. And you want to be thinking about resources you'll need. You think of this all the time in the resources you need to run the day-to-day business. But you want to be thinking about, additional resources you might need that would help you get back up to speed. Next comes writing that plan. So, you know, for a bigger company, you know, we think about who's gonna pull the alarm and get this thing activated and get the communication protocol started. You want to think about who you're going to call in case of an emergency. I mean, most companies are required here in California, we're required to have procedures for anticipated emergencies. You know, what are we going to do? We talk about the IT, which falls under this business resumption and recovery. There's a separate area of business continuity called disaster recovery. It deals with your hardware and software and your IT infrastructure. And this is an area that has become so specialized that when you're talking with your IT people, they really need to be able to show you that they can take the system down on an off time to whatever degree you're comfortable having them do this drill and bring it back up for you and show you that the data and the connectivity is there. You want to be able to, have some basic templates that tell you where your assets and resources are and where they're located. And you want to make a plan that has some scheduled maintenance as part of the process so that you can maintain everybody's skill, because as new people come on board and people leave, if this is not drilled, this is something that stays in the important but not urgent category. One of the things I want to do is I just want to shift our gears here. I think you understand what a plan looks like. Certainly the bigger you are as an operation, the more this becomes an issue where you're going to allocate resources. As small business owners, my recommendation is that you think about it around connecting to your people. You think about what you have as assets and what would happen if those assets were destroyed through an event. And then certainly you want to think about your IT and your technology infrastructure that's running your business, and how do you do protection around
Hello?
The data you have for that business. Somebody have a question? I'm going to move on to page 3, and then we'll take some questions. So I want to switch gears. We know the basics now of what a disaster preparedness plan looks like for ourselves. So this is the analogy of when you're on the plane and that oxygen mask drops down. You know, you want to make sure you're in good shape. But one of the reasons you want to make sure you're in good shape is that it builds your confidence in going out to clients to talk about their resistance as a trusted advisor. And people know when you're talking to them about subjects that they would rather keep in the future. They know whether it's work you've done yourself. So, you know, one of the things that you get to do by doing planning around your business is you get a way to demonstrate your professional acumen in your area, particularly how disaster preparedness rolls within your expertise. People get to see your behavior, and also they get to see that planning and preparedness for your business is one of the things you value. So one of the things I wanted to just have you think about is this quote from Andrew Sobel, and I think 2013 is a great year to be challenging our clients. I think, you know, we're under times of great transformation, and who better than a trusted advisor to help a client get their thinking challenged? And if you can challenge them about being better prepared for emergency events, I think this is a great service. So I just wanted to go down to the end of the page and share with you that client development matrix. I mean, for all of us, we're all aspiring and growing to that trusted partner relationship with clients. And I really see that disaster preparedness when put in the context of what you've been able to do for yourself and in the context of how it could help your clients have a more resilient business is a theme to explore for the coming year. So that is the end of my formal remarks, and certainly happy to take questions.
That's very good. I had a question, Faye. This is Jackie. On
yes.
You mentioned about emergency supplies, and I
mm-hmm.
was curious. I know that's certainly just a small part of the entire plan, but I was also curious about any possible liability to an organization if they don't have supplies on hand, like in LA, where you might have 20, 25 employees in an office, and we have an earthquake. And
right.
So is that a liability to an organization if they don't have supplies on hand for their emergency supplies for their people?
Well, let me try and frame the answer through what Cal OSHA on the regulatory side expects you to be able to provide is a safe and healthy workplace. They would expect you to have a plan and a way to ensure that people are safe from both the physical harm during an event and that you would be able to get them from, once a safe situation is evaluated, from their workplace to allow them to leave and go home. That would be the expectation on the Cal OSHA standards. They would not set expectations about emergency supplies that are required. certainly in the world of a non-legal liability, which is the world that I live in, it's just good planning to think ahead about the scenario of people not being able to leave and wanting to think through what would be some basic preparation for that scenario, whether it's water or, one day supply of food.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't take it as much as the liability. It's more around, as long as you're maintaining the safety for employees, it's really about how do you show your leadership and build trust with them that you've thought about their well-being during scenarios that are unusual.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Other questions for Faye?
Well, I have a question. I just want to ask the folks in the audience, what do you think about this as a conversation, as a trusted advisor conversation with clients? Do you think this is a conversation appropriate to raise, or is this just does not seem to be in the scope of engagement?
Hi, Hal. This is Zoe. I just wanted to say it kind of depends on the situation. I actually had a client who was on Wall Street in New York during Hurricane Sandy, and they had to relocate to a temporary location, and I know they had all sorts of issues. So it seems like with a situation like that, it might be good. I could be like, oh, well, if you ever need help planning for problems like this in the future, I happen to know somebody I could, just put in your direction. Have you ever dealt with clients kind of afterward, after something happens, to help them figure out how to put the pieces back together again?
Yeah. It's unfortunately a lot harder and a lot more expensive, but certainly there's an opportunity to really bring them back a lot faster. I've got a question. What kind of work do you do? What is your expertise?
It's graphic design and web design, so it was a marketing company in this case who just had a heck of a time trying to keep on top of everything after their office was just closed because of flooding.
Now, would you see a service offering around helping people have a dark site and think through the communication around people and a reputation management after an event?
Potentially. It seems like a lot of times what they'll do is they'll throw up kind of a temporary solution, especially in the case of websites. Some of these companies did have servers on property. And so what I've seen is people use things like Tumblr as kind of like an Insta update, cheap solution to be able to still reach out and say, hey, connect with us here while we're trying to get our website or our communication systems back up.
Excellent. Because one of the things that, because this is such a, this is the kind of work, this is a grind to get this done for a company. But I do think that it is something that in each of your offerings, there's probably something that you could solve for your client using this thinking that would help them just take a worry off their mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
This is Margaret. And, because I deal with human resources with my clients, this is one of the conversations that I have with them. And in California, where they need to actually have a plan around safety in the workplace, then, we look at threat assessments. And Faye and I worked on one of my clients. We worked on a plan. It took us quite a while to get it done. And Faye did the yeoman's share of the work because they had retail locations across the country. And it was about assessing, the risks in those places. And we didn't go into as much depth as I would have liked, but at least we have them, in an initial plan to get them started. So my suggestion is anybody who does work with people who, who might be impacted in some way, and that means all of us, that we at least talk to them about, have you looked at the risks in your company from a safety standpoint as well as recovery from a disaster, because it could be, you know, not a natural disaster, but something just happens within your particular business that would, you know, impact everybody that works for you and your clients as well. So I do keep this in the forefront of my mind, because this is one of the things that, you know, that is in my service offering.
Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah, this is Jackie. I actually, as you were going through your presentation, Faye, I was thinking about, I jotted down the names of several of my clients that I want to have a conversation with them about this, because my guess would be, as I see a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs, you know, scrambling with their business just to get their business going, that this is one of the things that it never quite gets addressed, especially when I think in California, you know, and again, I go back to earthquakes, and I'm always kind of intrigued by the fact that we know California is earthquake territory, but how many people actually have earthquake kits? And that's just a small piece, right, the earthquake mm-hmm. kits of the whole thing. But we can't even get our kits together.
I have mine together, thank you.
Well, I have mine too, by the way.
Okay.
As one would expect from a German.
But I
do think it's such a valuable conversation to have, because my dad used to be a diesel mechanic, and he had this saying that if you can't do it right the first time, how much time do you have to do it over? And it's really sad, like you say, the additional cost of going in for an organization after the fact. So I really appreciate you sharing this information.
Oh, my pleasure. I think that there is some business to create for any business that's in the advisory role by thinking about how to take the concepts and run it through their relationship to help their clients be better prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody's only prepared to spend, you know, $80 for a prepackaged earthquake kit with, you know, some water and some food, it's a start.
Right.
But there's a long road ahead. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I'm generally dealing with companies that understand the business issue, understand this is non-insured in most cases, you know, the loss of their business, their reputation, their
right.
connectivity to their supply chain. You can't risk transfer this. So they're sophisticated enough to know that, you know, they're running, you know, technology IT businesses on top of a service offering, that they've got to have that, you know, backed up and secured and protected, and that when that's done, they'll figure out how to run their business from anywhere, off of any equipment platform, out of any physical location. But many of us don't have customers at that level of sophistication.
The other thing, too, that I think about is when you're in a position as a trusted advisor, like many of us are, and Kurt, you're a perfect example, Anthony, you know, if our client's business is interrupted, even if it's someplace else and it's due to, like in Zoe's case, you know, where her client, there was a disaster that occurred in a different region, it interrupts our business as well. So it is a valuable conversation to have on so many different levels.
My pleasure.
Any other questions or comments for Faye?
Jackie, I'd just like to close, first to thank the audience, and second is just to extend an offer if this gets you thinking and you'd like to give me a call and see if there's a way that I can help you either think through what you're germinating, or you have a client that you think is ready to have a conversation around the ideas of preparing for their business to survive and thrive in these ages. Please look forward to a personal call.
And can you, I will pass the information on to everyone as well, just as reiteration, but is the phone number 310-372-0591?
It is.
Okay, so it's at the bottom of your materials.
Right.
And then I'll send that out as well. Thank you, Faye. This was great. Let's give her a round of applause with our 5 button on our phone.
Thank you.
There you go. And In just a second, I'm going to stop our recording, and then we'll continue on with our meeting. So